Thank you for tuning in to the Rivers of Living Waters broadcast. Do you feel like life has gotten crazy? Do you feel despair all around you? Do you feel like you need a miracle in your life? At some point, we could all use a miracle. Here are some practical life applications found in 2 Kings 3, 14 through 20 from the life of Elisha, so you can prepare your heart and mind for a miracle to happen.
You got to believe that God is still the God of the miracles. I know what people say. Oh, miracles don't exist anymore. That went away with the last apostle. And I want you to know something. That's just not true. God is still working. God is still changing lives. God is still doing the miraculous. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed since Elijah. He hasn't changed since Elisha. He hasn't changed since the apostles. He didn't change since your great-grandparents. He didn't change when the great pillars of the faith of bygone years have dead. God is only limited by our faith and our obedience. Do you believe God's greatest desire is to be believed? And if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Amen? You have to believe that God is a God of miraculous.
Amen.
So ask yourself, what is it that God wants you to do? Because remember, you have a part too. Your faith is limited by your obedience to what God has asked you to do. There's an old song that we sing, trust and obey. That's faith, trust, and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. God is only limited by our faith and by our obedience. Obedience precedes a miracle. You have to believe, and then you have to obey in order to get your miracle. There's a verse of scripture in James. Now, I believe in the power of God to heal. I believe that I have the anointing to pray for people to get healed. But the Bible says in James, if any man be sick, let him call the elders of the church. Do you see that? In order for you to be healed or have someone pray for you to be healed, you have to first call for them to pray. You see that? And so you have to be willing to swallow your pride and call somebody or come up to the altar and say, I need a healing. I need you to touch me and I need to believe that God can heal. And then God will use whomever's prayer it may be and whatever anointing it may take in order to have your miracle. You have to obey first and receive second. What is it that God wants you to do? That what is it that's stopping your miracle from taking place? Before he can work, before he can perform, before he can grant you a supernatural touch of divine providence, he's got something that he wants you to do. Can I give you a couple suggestions? Maybe number one, maybe he wants you to stop trusting in men and trust in God.
Amen.
He says, well, I don't trust in man. Really? I can only tell you from experience, but sometimes we talk and trust a guy in a white coat that went to a medical school before we'll trust a preacher who's on his knees before God. And a doctor is not God. I had that conversation with that doctor when he wanted to admit me in the hospital a few years ago. And I looked at him. He said, you're going to be dead in 2 days if you don't get in this hospital. And I looked at him and I said, you're not God. And you know what he did though? He took his glasses off and looked at me and says, you're not either. He says, but I am a medical doctor and I'm telling you that this condition is terrible, and if you don't let me treat you, you're going to die. And I said, man, I'm a man of faith and healing. I confess that I walk in divine health and prosperity. I said every day. He said, well, that's good. Don't you think God can work through me? And you know what? My pride didn't want to believe that. My pride did not want me to acknowledge that God sometimes does work through doctors. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
But maybe there's people who are trusting too much in a doctor, and the doctor has said this, 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 and you say, well, that's what the doctor said, so it must be right. I want to know something. Dr. Jesus has veto power over somebody else. Amen? God, I have seen the miraculous. I have seen people healed of unusual diseases. And right before your very eyes, maybe he wants you to stop trusting in what the doctor said. Maybe he wants to stop trusting in what a relative has said. Maybe he wants you to stop trusting in the government for what you get. Maybe he wants you to stop trusting in the church or your employer to meet your needs and start fully relying on God. Everybody in here, I want you to say it. I know it sounds silly. Even if you're listening to me by way of satellite, say it. Ready? Ready? I want you to do this. Ribbit. Ribbit. Everybody do it. Ribbit. Ribbit. You say, I'm a grown man. I'm sitting here saying, ribbit. Ribbit. 272 million people hear me go, ribbit. Ribbit. Why? Because I want you to become a frog. F-R-O-G. Fully rely on God.
Amen.
Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
See, in order to get your miracles, you got to stop trusting in what man said and fully rely on God. Ribbit. Ribbit. You'll never forget that now. Fully rely on God. Do what God has already asked you to do in order to get in line to prepare yourself for your miracle. You have to obey. Obedient service produces miracles, and miracles precede gratefulness, and gratefulness precedes praise. See, maybe God is saying to you, you need to stop trusting in man, start fully relying on God. But maybe this act of obedience is this. He's saying, is there any seed that you've sown in the ground? See, that's part of what we've got to do. You reap what you sow, whether you sow good or whether you sow bad. And so when you want a miracle in your life, when you want God to show up and show out, then you've got to sow a seed. A seed is anything that you place in the hands of God and expect God to multiply that. It can be money, it can be time, it can be service, it can be whatever. But I'm telling you, he's asking you the question, have you obeyed me? And sowing seeds in the ground. Have you sown a seed and then told the Lord what this seed is and how you want it to purpose, what you want that seed to accomplish? In other words, have you sown a seed and told the Lord and then by faith expect to receive the miracle that that seed offering was placed on? This week, our treasurer was reconciling the church accounts. And I had asked her for a particular balance on one of the accounts for the real estate that we do. And she reminded me when she sent me the form, there was a, and here's what it said, seed sown. And I thought, look at that. Even in our church treasury report, there was a seed sown. And that seed was sown in anticipation of God blessing and bringing to pass enough funds so that we could take on the responsibilities of what I just told you. Feeding the 10, feeding the 15, taking care of drum boy. We had a huge need for finances because guess what? Toys aren't free. Food going to Nicaragua isn't free. The gift bags that we give to the homeless aren't free. It costs money. Even when things are free, it costs money. Amen? You might get the rice donated, but you got to pay for it to get there. And so it takes funds. The Bible said money answers all things. And so we sowed a seed. There was a seed sown. You know what you said? Seed sown about faith, seed sown or something. The word seed sown. And then I looked down below that. A few weeks later, that seed sown multiplied 100-fold and met the need because the seed had been sown. Now, listen to me. One of the reasons people don't get miracles, whatever miracle it may be, physical healing, financial, getting out of trouble, rebellious kids, family trouble. God has spoke to you about sowing a seed, and in your greed, you won't sow a seed, so you still have a need. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about you got to, by faith, sow a seed and put it in good ground and then tell God what that seed's for. Now, that was finances. Let me tell you, I've told the story 1,000 times to the church family, but it's the truth. My daddy used to not be a Christian. I was the first Christian in my family. Got saved when I was 12. Everybody else was meaner than the devil. And I was pretty bad too until I got saved. Jake's age. Got saved at 12. and I wanted to see my daddy and mama saved. But mom and daddy were, long story short, my sister died when she was 6, right before I was born. And they blamed God and they were angry at God. And daddy didn't want to hear anything about God. And he wouldn't let me talk about God. He did everything he could to keep me from going to church. He did everything he could to stop me from serving the Lord. And when I told him I was called to preach, he literally, I want to say hated me. He hated the fact that God had, he wanted me to be an architect. He wanted me to be a general contractor like he was. He was angry at me, at God, and made my life very miserable. And so I tried my best to do what I could to win daddy to Christ. And for 6 years, I prayed for my daddy to get saved. And for 6 years, daddy never got saved. Daddy got mad. He'd run the people off that came to talk to him about church. And every time we had a way for me to go to church, he'd take us off and wouldn't let me go. He was just always contrary. Y'all don't know that. See, you know the good daddy. Well, so what I did was I said, Lord, I got a hold of this thing about sowing seeds. He wouldn't let me talk to him about Jesus. He wouldn't let me talk to him about God. He refused to hear anything about it. So I started leaving my Bible open. Just like this. I'd leave my Bible open, and if you can see it, I don't know if you can or not, but I had underlined and yellow highlighted, and I'd leave my Bible sitting on the dining room table, and I'd maybe put it over on the coffee table and have it open different scriptures and have them underlined because he wouldn't talk to me, but Mama, he one had to move my Bible. They'd have to kind of see a word here or there. I put up a big poster in my room, hurry and get on the bus to heaven. He will be here any time, and I had a cross, and I did everything I could to silently witness to my daddy, but he never got saved. And so I learned the secret of sowing seeds. Acts 16:31 said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's me. And your household.
Amen.
And I learned, I got hooked up with a lady named Margaret Darty at the church that I went to at that time. And she and I went on Thursday nights and soul winning. And I determined that I was going to try to lead other daddies to Christ. I couldn't get my daddy saved. So I'd go out with Margaret. And when there was a family, my target was the man. I wanted the man to get saved. And so every Thursday for several years, we would go. And when I would have the privilege of leading a man to Jesus, I would take that night and I'd say, God, Pete just got saved. And he's the daddy of 6 kids. I'm sowing Pete into the kingdom so one day my daddy will get saved. I was planting a seed of another man believing that God would save my daddy.
Amen.
6 years later, the seed sown became the harvest. And my daddy walked down the aisle while I was singing at a gospel concert at Midway Baptist Church, and he trusted Christ as his Lord and Savior. And when he died here, he died as a deacon at our church. Somebody say amen. See, so God says to you, you want something? Then sow a seed. And put expectation on that seed. And wait and see that I won't do the miraculous. Obedience always precedes a miracle.
Amen.
Secondly, if you want to have a miracle in your life, you not only have to believe that God can do them, obey what God has told you to do, but you also need to prepare your associations so you can get your miracle. In chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, interesting verses, Elijah said to the three kings. Now, there's three kings. There's the king of Israel, king of Judah, and the king of Edom. And they all come as one and say, we need a miracle, and we need you to pray for us, and we need you to work and ask God. And notice what he said in verse 14. Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand, if it were not for the presence of the king Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah, I would not look on you. He said, you three kings, we three kings. Oh, never mind. You three kings, I like one of you, but the other two are y'all wretched. And they were. They were bad. They weren't serving God, especially the king of Edom. And Elijah said, so if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't give you the time of day. But because of that, I'll listen to you. I learned two lessons. Number one, who you hang around with determines whether you're going to get your miracle or not.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah. See, not only does obedience precede your miracle, but your associations precede your miracle. Elijah told him, said, you got the king of Israel, king of Edom, and a king of Judah. You have a common enemy, the Moabites, but I don't care about that. If it weren't for Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't even listen to you. Wrong partnerships produce negative consequences, and negative consequences will hinder your miracle from coming to pass. God does not want you to hook up with an unbeliever. And he may say to you, be ye not unequally yoked together with an unbeliever, and demand that you sever the tie with that negative talking, negative walking, negative living person before you'll get your miracle. But I like him. See, I always teach our young people, don't even date someone who's not saved and coming, going to church and serving God, because the danger is you might fall in love with him or her.
Yep.
And then breaking up will be a whole lot harder thing to do. So the best thing to do, like the words of the famous Karate Kid, when he said, Mr. Miyagi said, Daniel-san, the best way to avoid a punch is no be there. And that's the way it is with Christian young people dating and singles dating. The best way to not get hooked up with an unbeliever is no be there. You need to be a nacho girl. I'm not your girl. I'm not your girl. Because once you get married, you're married. God doesn't believe in divorce, so you're stuck. You've been trying to get in business with somebody, and all of a sudden this guy comes up and he's an unbeliever, and he said, I'll finance your business. You better watch out. That's a trick of the devil. But on just a practical form, you're going to school or you're going to work and you hook up with these people who are drinking and smoking and running around on their wife and doing all kind of evil stuff, and you want to hang around with them, your miracle, it could be avoided because you are with the wrong crowd. So God said through Elisha, you need to, these people are bad. 1 Corinthians 15:33 said, evil communication corrupt good manners. You want God to work supernaturally in your life? Watch who you associate with. Watch what they say. Oh, that won't ever work. You're driving all the way from Bessemer City. That church ain't going to give you nothing. Sharon's a long ways. You know, gas is $3 a gallon. You can't afford to go there. Why are you listening to that guy? He's ugly and he's fat and he's from America. You don't need to be listening to him. Turn the radio off. Oh, no, that won't work. That won't work. Have you ever just woke up with somebody, you know, and you just start talking to you and all you hear is negative, 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 negative. I was preaching in Nicaragua and I was kind of talking around this subject and I had a translator. You know, they all spoke Spanish and I didn't speak it. And I said, avoid the negative Nancys in your life. And the interpreter, who is Nancy? they didn't know what I meant. I had to kind of back up. I said, people that talk negative all the time. And if you're not careful, your miracle will get delayed because you begin to believe negative Nancy. Mm-hmm. Woe is me. It'll never work. There's somebody on Facebook, love to death. I've known for years. Every time their post is always, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I can't believe my kid's sick again. This is the worst day of my life. She's had the worst day of her life for at least once a week for 2 years now. So finally, the other day she said, I don't know how I'm going to get through December. And I just worded back, cast your care upon him for he cares for you. Can I hear an amen? And so you know what? I don't read her post anymore. Why? Because you got to avoid negativity. Woe is me, it won't work. Tell me how it will work. Talk to me about faith. Talk to me about believing in God. I've been praying for these containers to get out of Nicaragua, and my prayers have changed a little bit. Lord, we need the food from Nicaragua. Well, you know what? God knows that. And Lord, you know we need to be able to feed those babies. And when I went down there and I said, Lord, we got to do better. We need this food out. It's here. It's sitting here. Help us. But then I had the co-founder of our ministry has gotten negative on me here lately. And he said, we just need to forget about that food. Just go ahead and just tell it, just destroy, what, abandon it. Don't worry about it. We're not going to send any more down there. There's no need for even sending. Let's don't even worry about it no more. And so now my prayer is, God, show him you're a miracle God. God, show him that you can get it out. Because he'll tell me, you're not going to be able to get it out. So-and-so didn't get theirs out, and they've been there 36 years. So-and-so didn't get theirs there. It's been 24 years. You will never get it out because the government has changed, and there's this, that, and the other thing. And I'm saying, Lord, we need the food for the children, but I want you to increase his faith. Show what a great miracle God you are. By the way, we got a text this morning. It's getting out next week. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord from whom all blessings flow. And you know what I'm going to do whenever we get it out? I'm going to give him an old-fashioned, na, 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 na. I might even take him to dinner and just look at him and say, na, 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 na. God is able. Can I hear an amen? Watch your associations. Don't hang around negative people, corrupt words, negative talk, dirty language, dirty ideas. They will hinder your miracle. Frank Outlaw wrote it this way. Watch your thoughts, because your thoughts become words. Watch your words, because they become actions. Watch your actions, because they become habits. Watch your habits, because they become your character. And watch your character, because it becomes your destiny. I want a miracle. Believe, obey, and watch your associations. Please also notice that just on the negative side, he said, I wouldn't give you the time of day, but because you're hanging around Jehoshaphat, I'm going to hear you, and God's going to perform a miracle. Sometimes when we hang around the right people and we get around the right associations and we make friends with righteous people and we hang around with people of faith, God honors that.
Amen.
I have a little saying, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. You need to hang around wise people.
Amen.
Older people, people walking by faith, people who are receiving miracles, and see what God does. You know, check your friends, check your business partners, check those things, those people that you hang around the most, because those people may be hurting. Or on the other side, they could be hastening your miracle if you get in the right place. By the way, that goes for your place of worship too. There used to be an advertisement on TV. Next Sunday, go to the church of your choice. Sounds nice, but it's not true. You don't go to the church of your choice. You need to go to the church where the gospel's preached.
Amen.
You need to go to church where the faith is taught. You need to go to church where they preach the truth, where they live the truth, where they practice the truth, and most importantly, where you have opportunity to serve the Lord. Can I say it this way? Some of you need to change churches. Well, I've been going to that church since my great-grandmother and my grandfather. It was named after my grandpa, and my mom and daddy are buried in the graveyard there. You're from Sharon. My grandmother is buried at the Canaan Church there in Sharon. I don't mean I'm going to go to Canaan Methodist Church because my grandma's there. See, we're going to the church for the wrong reason. You need to watch where you go. And some of you need to go to a church where you can get fully involved and serve God.
Amen.
Sow seeds of service if you can't sow seeds of anything else. My grandson got that little communication link from Santa Claus. And he scans it on his phone. And what Santa does is tells him a act of kindness that he has to do that day. Now, I know his grandpa pretty well. And the reason he got that communication link was because him and his sisters don't get along, and he needs to learn how to be kind.
Amen.
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 So he's sowing seeds of kindness. He has to keep a journal of all the kind works he did. And the other day he said to me, Papa, was I good today? I said, yeah, you were really good today. What does that mean? I said, that means you can write in your journal, I was good today. He's all excited. And next thing I know, he's over there cleaning up some apple juice his sister had sown. And he looked at me and said, "Papa, is that an act of kindness?" I said, "Yep, that's an act of kindness. Write that in your journal." Amen?
Amen.
And some of us have to do the same things. You understand what I'm trying to say? You need to go where you can serve God and become a part of doing kind things for others.
Amen.
Hey, and you know what? Some of you listening to me need to start your own church. Because you've been going, there's no church that preaches like this church, and there's no church that preaches the truth, and there's no church that you can serve. And I'd rather you not go to church at all than go to a cult. Don't go to the Catholic church. Don't go to the Mormon church. Don't go to the Jehovah's False Witness church. Don't go to the churches that are not preaching the truth. Well, there's not one around me. Then start one. Well, how am I going to start a church? I don't know what to do. Hey, that's why we've got the internet. That's why we've got the radio. That's why we got satellite. Go to our website, maddenworldwide.com, and get your group of people together, push play, and let me preach to you. Somebody say amen. Let this church minister to you. And what will happen, you get a little group of people, two or three people together, and you go to listen to the sermons and begin to talk about them. Like we do on Wednesdays, we recapitulate what we've preached on Sundays, and you do the same thing. And before long, God will call somebody in your little group there to be the pastor, and before long, you'll have a little church, and you'll be preaching the truth, and you won't need me anymore. Can I hear an amen? Maybe you need to roll in our free Bible college so you can get trained on how to be a preacher. There's all kinds of things. What I'm saying to you is this: if you want a miracle, then you got to get ready for it.
That's right.
And that might mean changing churches.
Changing ways.
And this, believe it or not, all that's my introduction. Here's the main point of the message. If you want a miracle, you got to prepare your heart to receive the miracle. You got to prepare your heart. Listen, the heart is the seat of the soul. The soul is your mind, will, and emotions. And like it or not, and you big tough men looking at me, my daddy used to whip me if I cried. Men don't cry. Yes, sir. No matter how bad it was, you couldn't cry. Men don't cry. I love my daddy. One of the things that Papa Joe was known for whenever he got saved, after he got saved, y'all tell me, y'all hear, and he became, was every service he wept like a baby. He cried all the time. God broke his heart. He understood, and my daddy was a strong construction worker. He used to build the skyscrapers in Charlotte, and he said he'd be on the top, and he'd hear a new hire, and he was so mean, he'd call the crane, he'd get on that wrecking ball, and he'd ride that wrecking ball down 20 stories and start a fight with the guy that just got hired. He was a mean man. But once he got saved, God broke his heart. And man, he began to cry, and he began to weep, and he began to pray, and he began to serve. You know what happened? I got a new daddy when I got, and he got saved. Amen? And some of you need to understand the same thing. Guys, it's okay. Emotions are a part of us. We're emotional beings. Now, men are not quite as emotional as women in most cases. But nonetheless, we all have emotions. Emotions, can you trust them? No, you can't. But we are emotional beings, amen? And so for you to get ready for your miracle, you've got to get your heart right. Your heart is your emotions, and that's what happened. I want you to notice something. We are emotional beings, but we're also logical thinking, reasoning beings. That makes us human beings. We're not dogs or cats. Dogs don't think, they just act by instinct. Cats don't think, they just act by instinct. People think. People reason. People have the ability to reason things out. And then we also have the emotions. And so the goal is to have a balance between your life of logic, fact-based, a life of faith, which is Bible-based, and a life of emotionals, which is feeling-based. And when we're level in all three of those areas, when you're thinking right, when you're believing right, and when you're feeling right, then you've got yourself in balance. And in Chinese medicine, we call it a state of homeostasis. You're in balance. And we don't want to be overbalanced in any area. I've known people who are so spiritual-minded, they're no earthly good. Amen? Then I've known people on the other side who are so logically thinking that they get paralysis through analysis and they don't ever do anything because they overthink it all the time. So we need this balance.
We hope you enjoyed today's edition of the Rivers of Living Waters broadcast, brought to you by the Making a Difference Network. We would love to hear how God is using this ministry in your life.
please write to us at Living Waters Broadcast, 911 Treasure Place Southwest, Concord, North Carolina, 28055, US of A. Or email us at maddenworldwide@gmail.com. Again, that's maddenworldwide@gmail.com. Or visit our website, maddenworldwide.com, for more information. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you join us again on Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern as we continue this study of the Word of God. Until then, we'll be praying for you and your family, that together we can make a difference around the corner and around the world.